Welcome to Ringside with Arif Dean, presented by Mile High Sports. I am, of course, your Avalanche beat writer for ColoradoHockeyNow.com and podcaster for Mile High Sports. It is currently Saturday, December 14th. We are about 3 hours from puck drop. In fact, I'm going to record this podcast, get it uploaded, get it going online for you to listen to, and then I'm going to make my way to Ball Arena because the Avalanche are at home. For the second game in a row, they're taking on the Nashville Predators, Justus Annunen's new team. Granted, he won't be starting. It'll be Juuse Saros. And more importantly for the Avalanche in goal, it'll be the first game Mackenzie Blackwood suits up and actually sees playing time after backing up in his debut on Thursday. He'll be the starter in goal. He'll go up against Juuse Saros. He'll make his Avalanche debut, the much-anticipated first game for Colorado's latest goalie addition, Mackenzie Blackwood. And that's what this entire podcast episode is going to be about. So I don't usually do pregame podcasts, but I felt this was necessary because I wanted to get my opinions out there. It's been a chaotic week. You know, as many of you know, I was in Detroit a week ago today. The trade happened. I got really busy with the trade and writing, and you know, I did a radio hit. I've done a couple, actually, and it's been full steam ahead since. The Avalanche schedule hasn't really gotten any breaks. But my goal with this episode before the game, and it's why I'm being very clear on what time it is and when I'm recording this, is I want to get my thoughts out about the Blackwood addition before we actually see him play. Because I don't want his debut to sway my opinion either way. I don't want him to go out there and do, for example, what Scott Wedgwood did in his first game, which obviously was a relief appearance, and let that sway my decision. So I want to get these thoughts out now and see how it shakes out. You know, you might be listening to this and the Avalanche and the Predators have already played. Maybe Blackwood had a great game. Maybe he struggled. But just know that this episode was recorded, like I said, 3 hours before puck drop here in Denver, Colorado at Ball Arena. First things first, the trade. Colorado acquires, and let's see if I could do this off the top of my head, it was Mackenzie Blackwood, Jovani Smith, and a fifth-round draft pick. Going the other way to San Jose, Alexander Georgiev, Nikolai Kovalenko, another fifth-round draft pick going that way, as well as a second-rounder. So the fifth-rounders are a wash. You know, the Avalanche get the better one, obviously, given the expectation that Colorado finishes ahead of San Jose in the standings. So the Avalanche get the better draft pick there. So ultimately, obviously, the goalie swap Georgiev for Blackwood. So ultimately, what Colorado has given up here, it's Nikolai Kovalenko and a second round draft pick for Mackenzie Blackwood, who was traded on his birthday. I believe 28 years old was the day that he was acquired by the Avs, pending unrestricted free agent. But this is a goalie that wants to find his way in the NHL and find his team. And the Avalanche, as we know, are a team looking for their goalie so they can be done with this constant movement of goaltenders. Mackenzie Blackwood, yes, it is his 28th birthday. Thunder Bay, Ontario native, second-round draft pick in 2015 of the New Jersey Devils, the same team that drafted Scott Wedgwood. In fact, it was the Blackwood draft pick and development that made Scott Wedgwood eventually expendable. They've had some stints together where they were the two goalies for New Jersey at the same time, one being the starter, one being the backup on any given night, and they've been reunited here in Denver. So initial thoughts of the trade. Number one, something had to happen. I did not expect it to come this quickly, but I did think it was going to come. Probably the idea that I had was sometime in January after the holidays, because I just didn't think the Avalanche could get something done before the holiday freeze, given the fact that the Wedgwood trade, I think, was on November 30th, if not December 1st. And the holiday freeze obviously being just 3 or 4 weeks after that, right before Christmas. The reason why I expected something to happen, and I wrote about this on ColoradoHockeyNow.com, is because the fact that Colorado went out and traded for Scott Wedgwood, like, this is a goalie, Scott Wedgwood, 32 years old, who has developed his game in the NHL, has earned his role as, quite frankly, one of the better backups in the NHL. He's very, very similar to what you'll get in like a Kevin Lankinen or what you'll get in a Casey DeSmith or even in a Nedeljkovic in Pittsburgh. Like, he's a guy that you know is a backup goalie. He's a damn good one. He's a great locker room guy. But that's what he is. He's a backup goalie, which for this team, the Avalanche, you know, this is my sixth season covering the team. There's been 3 years where they've had a backup. His name was Pavel Francouz. And there's been other years, like the 23-24 season or the 2021 season. Well, let's just call it the 2021 season because the season started in January. The 2021 season when it was like Hunter Miska, and then they went out and traded for Jonas Johansson. Then for some reason, Devin Dubnyk donned an Avalanche sweater. Still one of the strangest moves I've ever seen. But it just didn't. They couldn't figure it out. Then they get Frankie back the next year in Georgie's first year. And then, you know, Frankie had some injury issues at times, if I remember correctly. And Gorgie ended up playing 62 games. And it was just a lot of hockey for a guy that had never played that many games before. Then the very next year, it starts with Ivan Prosvitov getting claimed off waivers. And it takes him forever to get up to speed. And Gorgie's playing every night to start the year. Then you don't know where it's going to go from there. Suddenly they call up Justus Annunen, and he's the guy. Was he the right decision? That's a different question for another day, and it's something we don't even really have to discuss unless it's the offseason and we're bored, because neither Georgiev or Annunen are in this organization anymore. But the Avalanche needed a backup. They got Scott Wedgwood. And the moment they got Scott Wedgwood, I wrote about this on ColoradoHockeyNow.com. It, to me, signaled that more was to come, because I don't think the Avalanche trusted Justus Annunen, and I think they gave up on him before they gave up on Georgiev. And the reason why I say that, despite those stretches of strong play that he had, number one, we saw Jared Bednar continue to do what he did late last season, and it's shelter Annunen. Play him against non-playoff teams. When he plays him against playoff teams, he gets lit up. It happened last year against Tampa Bay. It's been happening this season again and again and again. So, well, when I say playoff teams, I mean playoff teams from 2024. So I felt that they gave up on Annunen. I've talked about this on the podcast. I've wrote about it many, many times. They gave up on him after the first two games of the year. When Georgiev got pulled both times, Annunen came in and the game was winnable, especially the Columbus game. That was the one that changed his trajectory in Jared Bednar's mind. Colorado's down 3-1. They pull Georgiev. It's early in the second period. They put in Annunen. They score two goals before the Columbus Blue Jackets even get a shot on goal. Home opener, which in the Jared Bednar era, the Avalanche win a hell of a lot of home openers, and they're pretty damn good at it. They tie the game up at 3-3. It's early in the second period. It's the frickin' Columbus Blue Jackets. And what does Annunen do after being pretty much given a game where it's tied now because they tied it up before he faces a shot? He lets in his first shot, he lets in another goal, and Colorado goes into the second intermission down 5-3, the same deficit they were trailing by when he was brought into the game despite Colorado scoring those two goals. It was the second game in a row he came in relief. He couldn't calm things down. He couldn't do what Scott Wedgwood did in literally his first appearance and his first time playing behind these guys. Jared Bednar gave up on his backup goalie. But as soon as they went out and traded for Scott Wedgwood, it was so obvious to me that more was coming, because Wedgwood is, just like I said, he's a great backup, a good backup. Whatever word you want to use to describe his play, he's that as a backup. He's a stable backup. That's my favorite word. He's under contract for another season after this. He's going to hold that position for the Avalanche for at least the next year and a half, or whatever, year and three quarters of a season. It signaled more was coming, because not only had the Avalanche lost trust in Annunen, they lost trust in Georgiev, and it's very clear that his it's so weird, because Georgiev is such a good guy, but he's also got these mental breakdowns, these rages that he has. When he was pulled in Buffalo, there's video of him just slamming his stick on the bench and losing his mind, and Devon Taves is just looking at it from the corner of his eye like, is this guy serious? We saw him last year whack Sam Malinsky on the shin when he accidentally was screened by the young defender who was in his rookie season with the team. We've seen him throw his stick up against the glass in Tampa Bay. We've seen him bash it on the post many, many times. He couldn't keep it together, along with not stopping the puck. Bad combination. They'd given up on him. Enough was enough. There was no way in hell, despite how he did against Connor Hellebuck and, you know, doing as much as he can, doing an admirable job against Jake Oettinger, they weren't going to go into the playoffs with their starter being Georgiev and their backup being a guy who's exactly that, a very good backup. I just knew more was coming. I didn't know who was going to be. I thought about the idea, and I even speculated, because there was no truth behind it in terms of sourcing, but I speculated the idea of John Gibson. But in the end, the obvious choice is the one that we've been talking about all season. It's the one that has been floated around by insiders all season, and it's Mackenzie Blackwood, and that's the guy they got. And my initial thought was, yeah, this makes sense. This is a young goalie who's looking to find his spot in the NHL on a team where he can be the guy. And from the Avalanche standpoint, they were sick and tired, and they are sick and tired of trying to find that next person over and over and over and over again. They have Ilya Nabokov, who they feel very highly about. Well, good thing is Scott Wedgwood's only under contract for another season and a half, because that's going to be Nabokov's position as soon as Scott Wedgwood's career ends, his stint with the Avalanche ends, not necessarily his career. And this is under the assumption that Mackenzie Blackwood plays well. The Avalanche, you know, when Nazem Kadri walked, and this is what I wrote about on Colorado Hockey Now as well, when Nazem Kadri walked via free agency to Calgary in 2022, they expected Alex Newhook to take this next step. And when he didn't, they went to JT Compher. Then he walked in free agency. And even him at the time, that wasn't quite, you know, really a long-term number two center, but he did a great job filling in that one season. Then they go out and trade for Ryan Johansson. That experiment falls flat on its freaking face. And then they said, enough is enough. We're going to trade this trade chip in Bowen Byram. We're going to go out and get Casey Mittelstadt, who's a young, raw talent, number two centerman that we know slots into that position, that we're going to hope and just expect him to live up to that expectation so that we could stop thinking about the number two center. We're not going to go out and get Sean Monahan for a year, Adam Henrique for 1 or 2 years. Enough with this veteran stopgap bullshit. Let's go out and get a young 25-year-old Casey Mittelstadt, make him the number two center. That's exactly what they did with Mackenzie Blackwood. We're done going out and screw these rumors from last year that we all talked about, not necessarily the Avs, but us, where it's like, oh, let's go get Marc-Andre Fleury, Jake Allen, these older veterans. No, let's get a guy who's 28 years old, which for a goaltender is pretty much the equivalent of a 24, 25-year-old center because of how much longer their careers go and when they reach their primes and the trajectory of a goalie. And they said, let's bring this guy in. Let's make him the guy. Let's hope he can be the guy, just like we hope Casey Mittelstadt can be the guy. No playoff experience, no problem. We're going to stick him in a locker room with a bunch of Stanley Cup champions with an expectation to win and see how he responds. If he doesn't respond, well, he's not cut out for this team anyway. Casey Mittelstadt responded. It's time for Mackenzie Blackwood to do the same. So initial thoughts of the trade was, this made sense. Can Blackwood have a quick and instant impact like Darcy Kemper did, like Alex Georgiev did, you know, and I'm talking obviously about his first season, you know, maybe. I sure hope so. It seems like every goalie the Avalanche have brought in, I mean, Grubauer kind of struggled early, but he figured it out in March. The Avalanche went on that run, and then he was the guy in the playoffs after Varley got hurt, you know, late in the regular season. But they brought in Kemper. He figured it out right away. They brought in Francois from overseas. He figured it out right away. Georgiev figured it out right away. Hell, Scott Wedgwood figured it out right away in his role as the backup goalie. So you're hoping he can do that. You're hoping he provides that stability. And if you caught this podcast that I did with Casey Mittelstadt back in the beginning of the season, Casey said, I'm not going anywhere. There was never a thought that I was going anywhere. I knew what kind of number or ballpark number I wanted. I just got the deal done ASAP. You hope Blackwood does the same. Casey was sick of losing and being in that Buffalo organization where they couldn't make the playoffs. I'm sure Mackenzie, and that's not a stab at the Buffalo organization as much as it is, I want to play playoff hockey. And I'm sure Blackwood feels the same. He was on the Devils where they were bad. The 2022 season, they figure it out. He struggles. Then suddenly he's in San Jose, rejuvenating his career, reigniting his place in the NHL. He figures it out and still no playoffs. He's 6-9-3. That's his record in the season this year, but he's got a .911 save percentage, tied for 11th. At the time of the trade for the Blackwood-Georgiev deal, out of the 52 NHL goalies that had played a game, or sorry, out of the 52 NHL goalies that had played, I think it was a minimum of 5 games, I want to say, was the number. Don't quote me on that. But out of the 52 goalies, Georgiev was ranked 52nd, and Justus Enunin was ranked 50th. Blackwood's tied for 11th, and I'm talking obviously about save percentage. So you know, the expectation from the Avalanche is this guy comes in and makes an instant impact. It starts with the game against Nashville, but it goes from there. He needs to play 7 of 10 games, 6 of 10 games. Be able to come in relief if Scott Wedgwood has a bad night. Vice versa. Scott Wedgwood's already proven he can come in relief and settle things down. This is the time for Mackenzie Blackwood to shine. This is his Casey Mittelstadt moment. This is his, I've not played in the playoffs and I'm 28 years old. I've been in the NHL for a long, long time. I want to be in the goddamn playoffs, and it can happen in 2025, a decade after he was drafted, if he can settle into this role. And then you go into the offseason and it's, you know what? Let me do what Casey Mittelstadt did. Does it mean I'm going to take a bargain deal and sign for $1 million? No, absolutely not. Get your worth, but don't fight for every single dollar. Sign a respectable contract. You know, make respectable goalie money so that nobody says you're underpaid, but you're also not one of the most highest paid goalies, which obviously won't be the case regardless because of what Shesterkin just signed for and all the contracts we've seen around the NHL. And also given the fact that Kemper won a cup here and got like 5.25. You know, go out and sign a contract that makes sense, make it long-term and do and become what I've been friggin' preaching for the last 6 months that we've seen these Georgiev struggles. 6 months of hockey, the two this year and the 3 or 4 months last year that Georgiev was struggling. The Avalanche need to go out and find their version of Corey Crawford, who was on that Chicago Blackhawks team for two of their cups. You're not looking for the best NHL goalie. You're not looking for one of the best goalies in the NHL who's going to make top NHL goalie money, but you're going to find a nice, solid guy who will make nice, solid money. At the time, Crawford was making $6 million. He'll win you cups and make you stop having to think about that damn starting goalie position. Do what Casey Mittelstadt did as a second-line center. Even though he's struggling, Mittelstadt that is, he settled that position where we don't need to think about it anymore. Become that guy, stabilize, and show the world that the pedigree you had as once upon a time Team Canada's next goalie, bring that back to life. You know, the Four Nations faceoffs in 2 months, that roster's already been set. Sam Montembeau, it's Aiden Hill, it's Jordan Binnington. You know, no disrespect to those guys. That's not a lot of tough competition there for Mackenzie Blackwood. 12 months after the Four Nation faceoff, the NHL is going back to the Olympics for the first time in 12 years. Mackenzie Blackwood, if he shows that pedigree, could very well be on that radar and could make that team. He was supposed to always be the guy. It was him and the guy in Philly who's now out of the NHL for obvious reasons. He was supposed to be the guy that becomes the next Team Canada guy. So show that pedigree and it'll be your spot. The last thing I want to touch on in this trade is, of course, what the Avalanche gave up. Let's start with Georgiev, and then we'll move over to Kovalenko because that one's an even bigger conversation for me. For Georgiev, this reminds me a lot of Craig Anderson back in 2011, where it's a guy who ran his course here. The relationship here kind of like, you know, shit hit the fan. And, you know, not because Georgiev's a bad person, but because just the team couldn't trust him anymore, the mental, you know, all the things I discussed earlier. Georgiev's got a place in the NHL. I just don't know where it is. I'm really curious to see how this shakes out. But I just, you know, given the fact that San Jose already has Vanecek, given the fact that their future is in Yaroslav Askarov, I don't know if Georgiev's going to be long for the San Jose Sharks the way Craig Anderson was with the Ottawa Senators for, you know, well over a decade or whatever the hell it was after that trade. But I do think he has a place in this NHL. I'm curious to see where it is. He's got to be a tandem guy. He cannot be the only guy. He has to be the kind of guy that is playing with another goalie that can give you 40 to 45 games. But I think he does get an NHL contract, whether from the Sharks or from somewhere else, because even though Yaroslav Askarov is the future, you know, he still needs a guy to play with him. And, you know, maybe it's Georgiev. If they let Vanecek walk, it's Georgiev and Askarov for the next few years in San Jose. But regardless, the person I want to touch on is Nikolai Kovalenko. For starters, let's address the hilarious coincidence that Nikolai is the same age his father was when he was traded for Patrick Waugh 29 years ago. Eerily similar that he had played 20-something games, just like his father did before he was traded for Patrick Waugh, again, 29 years ago, and he missed the anniversary by 4 days. Patty was traded to the Avalanche on December 5th in a deal involving Andre Kovalenko. Colorado's next goalie, Mackenzie Blackwood, was traded on December 9th in a deal involving Nikolai Kovalenko. I hate losing this piece. A lot of you guys have made it very clear in the comments on ColoradoHockeyNow.com, on my Twitter feed. It's very obvious that nobody wanted to lose this guy. And it's unfortunate they have to trade him, but the reality is you have to give to get. The one thing that I wish happened in this trade would have made me feel a lot better. Kind of reminds me of last year. When the Avalanche traded Bowen Byram, you felt a little bit better about it, knowing that in another deal, you traded a first rounder, but you got back a Sean Walker, who at least can replace Byram in the lineup for the, you know, for the season. He can be that guy that's going to stabilize your top six. I don't think the Avalanche got that in Jovani Smith. In fact, I know they didn't get that in Jovani Smith. This is a guy that is playing 5 or 6 minutes. You know, he's not the Sean Walker to Bowen Byram. That's not what he is to what Kovalenko was. But I do think they're going to go out and make a trade for that guy eventually. But the one thing that would have made this trade better would have been for Colorado to get back Nico Sturm. I know he makes a lot of money and you don't want that, but maybe if San Jose was able to eat a little bit of that $2 million salary, it would have been very similar to the Sean Walker thing, where you hate losing Bowen Byram, but at least you got in a separate trade Sean Walker to replace him for the rest of the season to offset that loss. Kovalenko's no Bowen Byram, and I'm not saying that he's anywhere close to what Byram was at the time of his trade. Maybe he could become that as a forward, but Nico Sturm could have really solidified the Avalanche's center position, especially on the fourth line, and even help out on the third line while they still struggle with this Ross Colton thing of where to play him. And by struggle, I mean he makes more sense on the wing, and now you don't have a third line center. Is Nico Sturm a third line center? No, but Parker Kelly and Ivan are the two guys playing that position right now, kind of alternating back and forth between the third and fourth line, and you could have really used a guy who's familiar with this organization like Sturm. But going back to Kovalenko, sucks to lose him, but it also made sense. Number one, you have to give to get. Number two, I still think the Avalanche are going to make another move to replace his roster spot. And number three, the reality is, with or without Gabe Landeskog, Colorado's top six is figured out. You know, I believe Arturi Lehkonen is going to sign a long-term deal when his contract expires in a couple years. I believe Mikko Rantanen is going to sign a long-term deal by the time July 1st hits. You got Val Nichushkin locked up long-term. You got Ross Colton for two more seasons after this one, or Jonathan Drouin, who might resign, or Gabe Landeskog, who might come back. You got Nathan MacKinnon. You got Casey Mittelstadt. You got Callum Ritchie waiting in the wings. It was going to be, and I'm not saying he couldn't have done it, but it was going to be a lot harder for Kovalenko to crack the top six and be a top six guy on this roster compared to on a team like San Jose or wherever he ends up from here. But I think San Jose likes him and they're going to keep him for a long time. You know, I think back to the Avalanche in their first era of Avs hockey when they were winning Stanley Cups in the Joe Sakic, Peter Forsberg, and Patrick Waugh era. You know, I was a young kid when they were winning those cups, but I was starting to get, you know, into the NHL and transactions and looking at trades. And I always loved, you know, playing those EA Sports NHL games, 03, 04, 05, 06. I always loved seeing players and then looking at what team drafted them and being like, holy shit, the Avs drafted that guy? You know, names like Keith Ballard, Samuel Paulson, Robin Regier, Tom Gilbert, like capable NHLers that had long careers. And I'm like, damn, the Avs drafted that guy? And then you go and look at the trades that they were a part of, and you start to see how they were brought in or the kinds of deals they were involved in. And I believe Tom Gilbert was in the deal to the Edmonton Oilers that brought Tommy Salo here in 2004. Sammy Paulson was part of a big trade. Robin Regier, if I remember correctly, was involved in the Ray Bourque trade. I could be wrong there. Maybe it was Sammy Paulson. But you get the point. Like, Colorado was constantly trading these young guys that they knew were going to have NHL futures for players that were helping them win Stanley Cups or potentially extend their window in the case of Tommy Salo. And that's where they're at now. It's the same reason why Justin Barron was traded. It's the same reason why Drew Helison was traded. It's the same reason why we saw Alex Newhook go out the door in a deal for draft picks that you later used one of those for Ross Colton, who's won a Stanley Cup and scored a cup-winning goal before. You know, Newhook's won a cup too. And it's the same reason why Nikolai Kovalenko found himself being a trade piece. It's the unfortunate reality of having a Stanley Cup team. You keep some of the young guys, but you also trade some. You know, Chicago Blackhawks, they have him now, but they traded Teuvo Teravainen. They traded a lot of young guys. Phil Deneau used to be a Blackhawk. They had to do something similar. Pittsburgh had to do something similar. The Detroit Red Wings had to do something similar. You know, Matthias Janmark, Cali Yarncroak in Toronto. There's a lot of guys that those Red Wing teams had that they had to offload because they were extending their window. Janmark was traded. Janmark's still in the NHL now. And, you know, yes, his career has kind of fallen down to the point where he's a depth guy. But at one point, he was a trade that brought in not Ian Cole, but Eric Cole from the Dallas Stars, I believe it was, to help the Red Wings shore up their top six. So this is unfortunately what happens when you have a team like the Avalanche. And again, it's why Justin Barron's not here. It's why Drew Helison's not here. Kovalenko had to be the one to go. You just hope that it wasn't for no reason. You just hope that Blackwood figures it out, can solidify his role, sign that deal to be the Corey Crawford, become the next Team Canada goalie, win a couple of Stanley Cups, maybe even arguably make a case for the Hall of Fame. I know that's going to be a tough one, but if you're on the team with Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen and Devon Taves, you're part of that core, even Valerian Nichushkin. You win a few Stanley Cups, one even or two, you don't know where it goes from there. You never know. Darcy Kemper got 5 years at 26 and a quarter million, I believe it was, because he won a Stanley Cup with the Avalanche. If Mackenzie Blackwood can win a few, he can make a lot of money and really solidify his legacy in the NHL. So with that, I'm going to put an end to the show here. Like I said, it's getting close to 5 o'clock. We're, you know, 2.5 hours or so away from puck drop. So we're going to call it here. If you made it this far in the show, bless your pretty little hearts. Hope you guys are listening to this on your way to the rink. Let's make hockey for everyone. And we out you.